Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast, sponsored by Pharmacy Times and part of the Pharmacy Focus series. I am your host, Joanna Lewis. I am a pharmacist and creator of the online platform, The Pharmacist Guide. This podcast focuses on anything you can find on the shelf, specifically in the drugstore, including skincare, beauty products, supplements, and over-the-counter medications. We also touch on mental, physical, and emotional wellness. Today's theme is all about skincare. We have a wonderful guest who works for a global skincare brand. We talk about different products, the pharmacist's role in skincare selection, and also some exciting career advice for those wanting to break into the beauty industry. Keep listening to hear my interview with Crystal Yu.
Welcome everyone to the On the Shelf podcast. Today, we have a special guest. Her name is Crystal Yu. She's a pharmacist who got her PharmD degree from Mercer University, and currently she is a senior manager in integrated health at L'Oreal. We're so happy today to have her talk about skincare and wellness. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you, Joanna. I am so delighted to be on your podcast show today. So thank you so much for having me as your guest.
Awesome. Okay, so your title, I know you've been in it for a little bit, but could you tell me more about what an integrated health senior manager means and how you work at L'Oreal?
Absolutely. I know there's some confusion about why a pharmacist is working at L'Oreal, just because L'Oreal is normally known as a global beauty company. But you mentioned, so my title is Integrated Health Senior Manager, and my main role is to really support the pharmacy community with skin health resources from brands such as CeraVe and La Roche-Posay. Not only do I get to use my clinical expertise and experience in my role, but it also allows me to work with many different partners. And it's been wonderful just being able to use my creative muscle for some unique projects.
No, I think that's awesome. And I remember when we first touched base and had a meeting, not only is your job very cool, and I love that pharmacists are getting into more diverse roles, but you're just like a wonderful person all around. So again, this is another great thing about social media and podcasting and meeting amazing people. So I want to kind of help. We have healthcare professionals and non-healthcare professionals who listen to this podcast. And I know as a pharmacy student, I really like dabbled in things. Like I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to do clinical retail, and I didn't really know all the opportunities, but I know if I had been offered like a pharmacy internship at what of like a global beauty company, that to me would have really, I think, grabbed my interest. So are there other positions like this for pharmacists, or is this kind of a developing industry?
Yeah, definitely. So there's quite a few opportunities. But before I go there, I do want to just let your audience know. I know I shared with you, Joanna, that not only do I have a personal tie to skincare, but it really began about 5 years ago when my daughter was born with severe eczema. And my husband, David, and I had to really change our complete lifestyle to support her. And that's when I realized that skincare can really impact a patient's life, not only with the physical aspect, but also by the mental and emotional burdens. So since then, it's really been a mission of mine to bring my personal experience and expertise to the pharmacy community with relevant resources. And so this role that I'm currently in allows me to do so. But back to your question about many different opportunities. So I can speak from working for a global organization. I've had the great pleasure to collaborate with other pharmacists across the globe within the L'Oreal organization, such as those in Canada or even in European countries. Since L'Oreal is a French company, a lot of our brands, such as CeraVe and La Roche-Posay, they hinge on the idea of a European pharmacy model. I don't know if you've been able to travel to Europe or if any of your audience members have been to Europe and have been into a European or French pharmacy. But one thing that you may notice there that's different is that skincare is a huge integral part of the pharmacy. I also want to mention that the brands Serevine La Roche-Posay, they have very deep clinical legacies, and the organization really values the expertise and the background of being a pharmacist. SkinCeuticals, another brand in our portfolio, they have actually quite a few pharmacists by trade that support their brand. In fact, one of my colleagues there just spearheaded the first PharmD fellowship this past year with the University of South Carolina. So she is definitely making some headway for pharmacists to enter this space. And then for myself next year, I will be precepting a PY4 student. I've always really enjoyed being a preceptor. So I'm definitely excited about giving my students some exposure through my role.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's exciting. So kind of going back to your comment about French pharmacies and European pharmacies, what have you seen? Like, do the pharmacists there practice differently? Or is that just kind of part of the out, you know, what's out in the space of a pharmacy?
Yeah, so there's definitely some similarities and differences, you know, looking at the landscape of pharmacists in Europe and compared to the US, but a lot of your European pharmacies, they might be independently owned. So a pharmacist there may be more inclined to being consultative on skincare. And since skin is the largest organ and covers our entire body, it really does make sense for a pharmacist to consult in this topic. And not only that, but the prevalence of skin disease, like 1 in 4 patients are affected by skin disease, commonly seen in the pharmacy, are like eczema, acne, and other skin conditions. And then also not to mention that there's many prescription side effects that our pharmacists are aware of that manifest on the skin.
No, that's a great point too. Kind of delving into OTC products. And for those of you who don't know the acronym, in the pharmacy space, OTC stands for over-the-counter, and that really kind of refers to any product in the drugstore that you can purchase without a prescription. So this is your Benadryl, your Tylenol, Claritin, and then also a lot of skincare products. And kind of like you said, Crystal, about eczema, what are you seeing as some of the like the best products for, you know, I know a lot when I was working behind the counter, a lot of there was a lot of prescription strength lotions that we used for and topical lotions that we used for, you know, certain skin conditions. But if someone was just going to walk in off the street and kind of like, how did you approach your daughter's condition?
Yeah. So as a parent and even as a patient, you know, I'm always looking for a trusted source of recommendation. So looking to our healthcare professionals, such as the dermatologist or even our pharmacist, they're really trusted sources of recommendations. When it comes to OTC skincare, you know, we are fortunate to have some great over-the-counter solutions, especially since the average wait time to see a dermatologist in the United States is over 1 month. It's actually 32.3 days. So during that long wait time, these patients that might not be in the care system, their conditions may worsen. And there's some great over-the-counter solutions that, you know, we can definitely call out specifically for certain conditions. But I did want to emphasize that there are supportive guidelines from the American Academy of Dermatology that really encourage a daily skincare routine to be used with prescriptions to optimize management. So as I mentioned, a lot of prescriptions have side effects. So acne prescriptions is one primary example. Your common prescriptions such as doxycycline or your topical antibiotics used for acne have common side effects like dryness and irritation. So pharmacists, you know, we're usually equipped with the information to counsel on these side effects, but I definitely think there's opportunity and an appetite to know more about the skincare space on how to improve patient compliance by recommending like a full skincare routine or regimen to offset these side effects.
Absolutely. So what would you say to a pharmacist who maybe wants to get more information on that? Because I know, you know, a lot of like we learn ingredients in skin or in pharmacy school, right? Like we learn this emollient or this skincare ingredient is good for this. So usually I would find myself, you know, walking over to the skincare aisle and then just looking at all the labels. Do you think that's the best way, or is there, go ahead.
Well, I think there's different approaches, but I do see, or I've observed that the skincare aisle can be kind of challenging to navigate with all of your options. Sometimes I like to compare it to an OTC pain medication aisle. You know, to an average patient, it might be really confusing for that patient to see all these options, but pharmacists, you know, we do have knowledge in active ingredients. So normally we know what active ingredients may dominate this aisle. So similarly with skincare, you know, there is an opportunity for pharmacists to gain more skin health knowledge, particularly with active ingredients, especially since in recent years, a lot of active ingredients have gone over the counter, you know, specifically like for acne, adapalene and benzoyl peroxide, which were previously prescription, are now available over the counter and more accessible. I definitely feel that there is opportunity to better support our pharmacists with skin health training, especially since there is a huge gap in this knowledge. Because I don't know about you, Joanna, but I don't remember learning too much about skincare or OTC items in pharmacy curriculum. I think I only had like one semester's worth on OTC care.
No, agreed. I just remember, again, this was like 10 or 15 years ago, but it was like glycolic acid, you know, for acne. And there was only one or two cleansers on the market at that time. And I think that's what is one of the wonderful things about skincare and just about the market, is because in the last 10 years, it's really grown to meet all these consumer needs, and it's grown to like a lot of these, even the glycolic acid and the acne products have counter ingredients. So you're not necessarily like stripping your skin barrier. I just think we've come so far right now, and it's really amazing. But like you said, pharmacists kind of need to keep up with this, because we are getting asked a lot more questions, since not only are we there and accessible, but it's overwhelming. I agree with you. You walk on, you know, in the aisle, and there's 50 different things that you could pick from, and you want to know, is this better or is this better? Are they the same?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I know you're a huge skincare enthusiast, so you probably know more than the average pharmacist about ingredients, but one thing I did want to call out is that as a healthcare professional, I do want to feel confident when I'm recommending a specific skincare product. And that's usually from having clinical backings to a product. So I want to emphasize that CeraVe, La Roche-Posay, and even Vichy, which are all brands that I support, they really ensure that the products that do get to shelf are greatly studied with sufficient evidence through clinical backings. CeraVe specifically, all of their products are developed with dermatologists. And a fun fact about La Roche-Posay, it has some interesting pharmacy heritage. It was found by a French compounding pharmacist when he found out that thermal spring water sourced from La Roche-Posay, France, was a wonderful compounding vehicle. And La Roche-Posay actually has its leading thermal treatment center in Europe still open, where it treats up to 7,000 patients annually for a variety of conditions such as burns, cutaneous effects from cancer treatments, eczema, all with its healing properties of its thermal spring water. So these types of clinical backings personally help me to feel more confident when recommending to patients. And I hope the same for my peers.
No, absolutely. And that's such a good fact about La Roche-Posay. I didn't know it was founded by a pharmacist. And to your point, I have seen a lot of the studies that CeraVe and La Roche-Posay, I've seen those studies, and I really appreciate how they do back up their claims with evidence.
Yes, for sure. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I have noticed with all the new skincare options out, you know, you might see new product launches that are because of some certain ingredients that might be trending on social. But one important thing I wanted to emphasize is that all the new product launches from our brands, they don't happen overnight. I mean, going back to having that time and commitment working alongside our healthcare professionals, such as our dermatologists and pharmacists, to really ensure that the products that do get to shelf are greatly studied.
Oh, that's such a good point. And it's funny that you say that about all the skincare launches. It could just be my social media algorithm, but in the last month, I feel like I've been inundated with so many new like product launches, new skincare brands. And to me, it seems like they're everywhere. And it does make it harder to wade through the information to see like what really works. Does this product have evidence to back up the claims? But there are a lot. On that note, are there any gaps that you see in the market? Or are we pretty saturated?
As far as gaps, there's so much product innovation and opportunity to provide more access to patients. I don't know if it's really an ingredient gap, but I do strongly feel that there's a gap in accessibility to skin health. Going back to the average wait time to see a dermatologist leaves a lot of patients without accessibility. Also, I kind of mentioned in passing that there's been some great active ingredients that have gone over the counter in recent years, such as our acne active ingredients like benzoyl peroxide and adapalene. So I definitely wouldn't be surprised that in the future, more actives will go over the counter. But that also means that as pharmacists, we probably need to stay more informed about what options are out there for our patients so that we can give optimal skin health advice. And then one thing you mentioned, Joanna, was, providing resources for our pharmacists because of our traditional training in school didn't really support a lot of or provide a lot of groundwork in this space. So this is definitely a mission of mine to support our pharmacists with relevant resources on skin health.
Well, can you talk more about that? Because it's American Pharmacist Month and I've seen like CEs come out of L'Oreal and out of your work, but do you all have maybe an outlet or a hub where you house a lot of your skincare resources?
Yes, I'm excited to say that we have launched a pharmacy corner site on our HCP or healthcare professional facing website. I'll definitely provide you that link, but it's at L'OrealDermatologicalBeauty.com/pharmacist. And the intent here is to just really be a convenient all-in-one resource site for our pharmacists so that they can access our accredited continuing education on skin health and also clinical articles, and also the capability of allowing our pharmacists to order free product kits so that they can either try some of the products themselves or recommend to their patients or friends or family.
Ooh, I didn't know about that. That's very exciting.
Yeah, and there's also other, I could talk for days about the other amazing resources, but we'll also have available recordings of our Ask a Dermatology events, where Susie Solomon, who's also the founder of Pharmacist Mom, she moderates these Q&A discussions quarterly with a board certified dermatologist on a specific topic. So there's some really great pieces and nuggets of advice for our pharmacists to take away from these videos.
So those are a lot of great resources. So any pharmacist or healthcare professional who really wants to broaden their knowledge, and like you said, it's changing a lot, this would be a great place. So I will link this in the show notes because that sounds great. Are there any other ways you're celebrating American Pharmacist Month or?
Yeah, so historically we partnered with some retailer partners. So supporting their pharmacist with gratis gifts given store-wide. With October being October Eczema Awareness Month, we like to focus on this skin condition as well. But for next year, we really hope to scale our American Pharmacist Month efforts through our new pharmacy corner that I mentioned. So for your audience that are pharmacists, please stay tuned for that.
No, that's very exciting. Okay, so I want to pivot a little bit to more of like career wellness. And you've been working as a pharmacist for quite a few years. What would you tell your younger self, either while you were going through pharmacy school or during pharmacy school?
Yes, yeah, so there's several. I would start off with, one, don't limit yourself. I remember when I graduated 2013, I was kind of told two different career pathways, one either being in community setting or two, kind of the residency route. I didn't really realize at the time how many opportunities there are for pharmacists. I mean, I really feel like our knowledge is so abundant and we can definitely transfer it to different fields and different positions. The second thing I would tell myself, it might not be pharmacy specific, but it would be to wear sunscreen earlier in my years. I realized working for, a beauty company has made me truly realize that I need to be more self-aware of my sun safety behavior. So this year was actually the first year I didn't purposely sunbathe. And ever since joining the organization, I've made it a commitment to wear daily sun protection and also just being more aware of wearing sun protecting clothing. Also not to mention, due to my age, I'm facing some aging concerns. And so sun causing, 90% of photo aging, I definitely want to slow down the process there. But I always tell friends, family, if you're spending money on anti-aging products and expensive serums and not wearing sunscreen, you're just kind of wasting time and money there.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. And for all the listeners, La Roche-Posay has some amazing sunscreens. I think those were some of the first ones that I really like fell in love with the texture. And correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you have kids sunscreens, right? From La Roche-Posay that are really good.
Yeah, we have quite a large portfolio. I mean, what I like about the brand is that you have some really cosmetically elegant formulations, and then you have some, mineral-based formulations, which I prefer. I mean, I do like the mineral-based sunscreen, and I especially recommend those for the sensitive skin types, like for people with eczema or rosacea, I always recommend mineral-based. But there's, always the piece of advice that the best sunscreen is the one that you will wear daily. So I definitely live by that advice.
No, so true. And I want to go back to what you said earlier about, what you would tell your younger self, not to limit yourself. So I really think just for you, like, I really feel like you're blazing a trail in this space because a lot of pharmacists even now are still being told, there's one or two options and that's it. And I really appreciate you taking the time to not only like educate others and you're taking a PGY4, but also to just show people what's possible with the knowledge that we have. Very exciting.
Oh, of course. And I feel like, just to go back on that, as pharmacists, we just have that wealth of knowledge that can be transferred to many roles. But I do feel like some of the more non-traditional roles, such as the one I'm in right now, might require some different soft skills, and that requires kind of stepping out of your comfort zone sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of one of the harder things to learn. You just have to kind of dive in and experience it to get it. So on that note, you have a crazy life in a good way. By crazy, I mean busy with a busy job. I know you have small children. Are there any wellness or health rituals that you partake in just to ground yourself?
Yes, I feel like consistency is key, not only with skincare, just like with prescription medications, you need to be consistent to see those benefits. But, I try to carry that consistency through my wellness, and that is, just getting some daily sunlight every day, getting in some form of movement or exercise every day, and allowing myself to rest when my body needs it. I feel like, wellness is really a huge holistic idea. It's not just one thing or another. You really got to account for many different parts of it.
Agreed. And you kind of have to like wade through the wellness space and pick and choose what works best for your body. And to add on to your thing, how do you rest? Because I find it so hard to be intentional with resting, because even if I want to just relax on a Saturday morning, you know, somebody wants a snack or somebody needs me to take them somewhere or I have to go to the grocery store. And to me, that's like the hardest thing to prioritize.
It is really hard, Joanna. I mean, I still struggle with forcing myself to rest. Like you definitely understand, you know, being a mom, being a pharmacist, you know, rest for yourself, it's sometimes hard to prioritize. So sometimes you do need to be very forgiving on yourself as well. But, you know, just going back to consistency, I feel like that kind of puts you in the habit of when you need to rest and just listening to your body. You know, there's just some days where I definitely need that rest and some things can just wait. And, you know, I choose to prioritize my health and my wellness.
No, that's so true. I like that. Some things can just wait. You know, we don't have to do the laundry every day, et cetera. Okay, so there's a few questions that I always ask everyone who comes on this podcast. And I think I might add a special question in just for you because you are in skincare. Before I ask what your favorite over-the-counter product is, what is your favorite like skincare product? And they could be the same.
Well, that's a tough one. Well, I'll tell you what currently my favorite skincare product is. It's actually a product from our brand La Roche-Posay. They have a Cicaplast balm that's made with vitamin B5. Vitamin B5 is also sometimes known as panthenol, but it has some really amazing wound healing properties. And it's really versatile. I use it for my daughter's eczema spots. Sometimes I use it on myself if I overdid it with my retinoid products. Like I mentioned, it's a great product, very versatile. It's even recommended sometimes for patients undergoing cancer treatments and have those cutaneous side effects from like radiation or their medications. I like it just because of its versatility, and I've even used it for like post in office care, such as like microneedling or chemical peel. So definitely encourage you to look into that product if you haven't discovered it yet.
Okay, that's funny that you say that because I've seen that product. I've never personally used it. Is it thick or is it more like a, I think someone had recommended that for diaper rash, but I could be wrong like years ago.
You're definitely not wrong. It can even be used for diaper rash. It's got dimethicone in it. So it does have a certain texture, but again, it has that vitamin B5 or the panthenol ingredient that has that wound healing property. So again, it's great for, you know, eczema spots or, you know, like for myself, like I mentioned, if I overdo it with my retinoid products and I need some topical assistance there, I like to use Cicaplast for that purpose, but it's wonderful. And very versatile. So it's always something that I encourage friends or family to include in their bag.
Okay, I'm seriously going to buy that today and just keep it in my bag because with three boys, I am always needing like, there's always something going on their skin. What about, I know that's over the counter, but are there any other over the counter products that you swear by?
Well, going back to my daughter's eczema, you know, I feel like a lot of patients and even healthcare professionals, they focus on a good moisturizer, which is important for eczema. But I think what is sometimes forgotten is a good cleanser for eczema, because there's a lot of cleansing products on the shelf that might be too harsh and might strip away your natural skin barrier. And Joanne, I think you mentioned, you know, the importance of the skin barrier and how that's your external shield. And so, you know, when that skin barrier is impaired, you know, there is the possibility of introducing bacteria or other items that could, you know, further impair your skin barrier. So right now, we are really loving, and I'm going back to La Roche-Posay, but they have a Lipicar line that's wonderful for eczema-prone skin, but it's the Lipicar AP Plus Wash which can be used for face and body. So we're really loving that now for my daughter's eczema, and also just because we're heading into colder and drier temperatures, I feel like my skin is craving for more moisture.
Okay, along with those products, is there anything you always have in your medicine cabinet? And I know I always tell people it's Band-Aids, but what would be, you know, go-to for everything?
That's so funny. We just ran out of Band-Aids because, you know, having young kids, that's always a common request. Well, besides from like first aid items for my children, it would probably be, for us, it's always a good antibiotic cream. You know, going back to my daughter's eczema, she has many sensitivities. So rather than having Neosporin, we always keep acetracin in our medicine cabinet just because my kids are definitely in that accident prone age, and having a reliable antibiotic cream is always really useful.
Yep, that's definitely in ours too. I agree. We Band-Aids and Neosporin are on like a constant rotation. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I always love talking to you and learning from you, and we'll definitely post that resource page because I think that's going to be an amazing thing for pharmacists to see and for other anyone else who's not a healthcare professional. So where can we find you if, you know, someone wants to reach out or find you on social media?
Yeah, thank you, Joanna, so much for having me. So your audience can find me on my professional handle at LinkedIn. And then, like I mentioned, we have the new pharmacy corner on our HCP or healthcare professional facing website, which you mentioned will be linked. That will only be available for pharmacists and technicians and other healthcare professionals, but happy to provide those resources to your audience.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. Happy Pharmacist Month, and we will talk soon.
Yes, happy Pharmacist Month to you too, Joanna. Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to On the Shelf. Join us next month as we continue to talk to thought leaders and change makers in the world of wellness.